Hello, ladies and Taylor. Hi, and Kathy just joined us.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Hi, how is everyone? Doing really well today,
Excellent.
thank you. Yeah.
Yes, very well. How about you, Ariel? How are you doing?
Very well, very well. It's nice to be here. And how about maybe we start with some meditation, just a little centering? Does that sound good to everyone?
Excellent.
Okay. Great. And Kathy, if you want to do maybe one more reminder on the Facebook group, maybe just do one more as I think, let's make sure everybody knows about it. Okay. So Taylor and Kathy and I were just failing to come together. We haven't had a call of just women in quite some time, and it's a really powerful time to come together and really take care of ourselves on multiple levels. So let's just come together now and just centering ourselves. And just starting with the breath, taking a really deep breath in. And on your exhale, just letting your whole body soften. And bringing your mind to release tension, to relax, letting go of all of the details and focuses of the day and external. And just coming to focus inside on your inner being. And just feeling your energy come inwards, like it's being pulled back inside from everywhere your attention's been drawn. Just coming back and letting the mind come to greater stillness. And just taking a few moments to just let in light. So just re-nourish ourselves, refill ourselves spiritually. Just feeling that presence like you would the physical sun and that light that comes and nourishes every cell. And just feeling it as a spiritual sun. That light coming in. And just filling you and recharging you. Releasing any worries or concerns or negativities, anything. Just letting it be dissolved by this light. So just really bringing light into your own being, into your own self, and naturally bringing lots of light into this call and surrounding everyone here. And just filling your own heart. From the source of love. And just letting that love flow naturally to all of your sisters on this call or not on this call, all of the superhero women, beautiful souls worldwide. and appreciation for Taylor and Kathy for being here and sharing their love and their time. To just come together and be of support and really feel ourselves as we come into a busy time of year for lots of people. So thanks for being here, everyone who's here. And I think maybe some ladies will be listening later. It's sometimes tricky to find the right time. But welcome and thanks for being here, everyone. So Taylor, Kathy, would you like to just kind of share on this theme of self-care we are connecting about and just bring some?
Yeah, actually, I'd love to share just quickly. The theme comes up over and over again as I'm speaking with women in the superhero training. To some degree or another, there is a lack of self-care, and it is it's just quite prevalent. And I think it's just a really timely topic to help people, to help women know that they deserve not only the self-care, but the love and compassion, the forgiveness and praise that maybe they may be lacking or feeling that they're lacking. They deserve to have that, and how powerful it is to give that to yourself. So that's something that I was hoping that both of you could speak to. The not only receiving these wonderful virtues and qualities and care from others, but really being the one in control of giving that to yourself, but also how deserving we all are of having that in our lives.
Thank you. Taylor, would you like to start on that one?
Yeah, well, you know, let's face it. This is a theme for all time. It's not just now. I mean, I find in particular women are the ones to be the guiltiest of, you know, caring for others before caring for themselves, and or caring for others instead of caring for themselves, and putting it that kind of on the back burner, like, I'll get to it. I mean, I talk to some women who say, you know, when I tell them, like, I'm on my second or third bath of the day, they're like, oh, my gosh, I'd give anything to take a bath. I'm like, really? Anything? Because, like, all you have to do is turn the bathroom off. What's keeping you? What's stopping you, you know? But, you know, it's a common theme, and so it's, and I don't just see, I mean, sure, now we could say with the holidays and, you know, all the things people have to do, that it gets dropped out more than ever, and that's the case, but really, honestly, I think it's important just to recognize that, especially busy moms, and, you know, people that have our caregivers, maybe for, you know, other family members. It can be really challenging for them to make time for self-care. So it really is something that we have to, you know, I tell people like that, they actually have to schedule it in. They have to put it in their schedule, just like taking, you know, Sammy to soccer, you know. I mean, it's got to be there. And it has to be there as a priority, or often it won't happen, because there really isn't time. Like, you know, often the excuse is that I'll get to it when I have some time, or I get to it when I have everything else done. I mean, I so often talk to women, you know, late at night after the kids are in bed, while they're washing dishes, and they're exhausted, and they're hoping by the time they get done cleaning up the kitchen, maybe they'll have a little bit of time to, you know, do something for themselves. And usually by that time, they're so brain dead, that something usually will be like, well, I don't know, I'm just going to maybe sit down and, like, look at emails or space out on the computer. I don't know. Because I don't have any energy to do anything else. This is a common theme. So, you know, people say to me, like, well, what do you do? When someone says to me, like, well, what do you do, Taylor? I mean, my response is, well, first, I take care of myself and Jeff, and really good care, like excellent care, like the best ever. And then if I have any time left over, I might work. But usually that's a full-time job that takes the entire day. So, you know, I have to squeeze in work. You know, I turn that whole equation backwards, honestly, and upside down. And that's really how we want to approach it from my view, is that we really, if we approach it from that way, like if we have any time left over, we're going to work, or if we have any time left over, we'll, you know, care, do the other things, care for other people, do those kind of things. It's critical for us to approach it like that. Even if we fall short, at least that's our objective. You know, I mean, that's, I think, a good sort of way of looking for it with it. And as we know, of course, with the Superhero Protocol, it's all about, you know, intentionally making the time, creating the time, especially early in the morning, to allow that time for self-care and the things we know we need to do to really be grounded and present throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah, thank you. Michael's mentioned about your baths before, Taylor. It's like you give everyone permission to take multiple baths.
Awesome. Yeah, it's essential. Yeah, I got to do that.
So can I ask a question then? So because I think that this is an ideal to get to this space, but not many women are in that space where they can practically take the baths in the day. So the transition, what would be some practical steps in your views of, so first of all, you've mentioned taking, like putting it in your schedule. It's a non-negotiable. It's got to get in there. But for somebody who has run off their feet for the whole day, every day, how do they start that? What's the most effective thing to start with?
Yeah, little steps. Everyone is in a different place, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just like working in one healthy meal, one healthy smoothie, like that, just one smoothie a day. Or maybe it's working in one little walk, getting outside of the house and taking a walk. Or, you know, whatever it is that gives them that sense of renewal and self-care. I mean, it's going to be different for everybody. For me, it just has to be fast, but, you know.
So identifying, first of all.
Yeah, exactly. What is it that, you know, would be, if you could have your day look however you want, and that's a good place to start, too, really identifying what would a day of self-care look like for you if you didn't have all these other things you had to do, or if you could do whatever you want. Because some women don't even know, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They, you know?
One of the things that helped me, 2 years ago, I was running around like a chicken with its head cut off and didn't have any time for myself. One of the first things for me was to discover what it was that I felt I was lacking, whether it was friendship or time or love or health, whatever it was, I identified that first and then started to take action to provide those things for myself. So whether it was, you know, if I'm looking at health, like you say, Taylor, add a smoothie in each day. That's a nice small step that you can do. But I started also with 15 minutes of non-negotiable. It's only 15 minutes of time just for me to do whatever it was that I felt I needed to do. And that increased over time, really quite naturally, to having no days. And I labeled these. It's where I said no to absolutely every request of me in a loving and kind way. But because I had been so much of a yes person, I would do anything that anybody asked for me before taking care of myself. So I created no days, and they were super fun, actually. I don't have to do them anymore because people know my boundaries now, but
hard to do at first, very hard to do, but they ended up being one of my favorite days.
No days. That's awesome. And I can relate a lot to Taylor. I take a lot of time to take care of myself and Michael and a lot of times also the nature of our work. And I know this is the case for both you, Taylor, and Kathy as well, is also just taking care of others. And I notice how easily that happens going into the work you have to do, especially when you've taken care of yourself. And I think one of the things I've found most helpful is the nighttime and the morning time, especially, you know, right before you're going to bed, right after you wake up. It seems there's a window, a window in the subconscious mind too, is more alert. And so there's like extra power, because if we really take care of ourselves at night and in the morning, and, you know, we do our practice, maybe you're doing a spiritual practice, maybe you're taking a bath, maybe you're doing like an oil massage, that's really nice, or, you know, the different ways you take care of yourself. I find you really, it's like you're really grounding it in even more, doing it those times of days. It's just really going deeper into your mind how you value taking care of yourself. And also your evening's going to affect your sleep, and then your sleep's going to affect your morning, and then your morning is going to affect your day. So if nothing else, those two times of day seem to be absolute gold, you know, for really feeling nourished, and then remembering more throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I find that helps a lot.
Yeah, and I think it's what Kathy said is I think important to underscore about being a yes person, because, you know, often women do fall in that category, and really starting to recognize this tendency to not be able to have boundaries or say no, and you know, start to practice that. You know, sometimes it's just you have to practice it. You know, I think a good way, if you really are someone that's like that and all you do is say yes, yes, yes to everything, is to just to start to practice to say maybe. Because no might be too far of a leap to get from yes to no. I mean, often. Or I don't know. Like, and I don't know is good, because that gives you the space then to really feel into it. You haven't committed to anything, and then you really want to feel into, well, you know, does this feel good to me? Is this consistent with, you know, having balance in my life? Because really that is what self-care is about, honestly, is about balance. You know, us finding a balance between kind of overdoing it or not doing enough, or, you know, taking care of ourselves. And that's all dis-ease is not being in balance. And so it's a good opportunity, if you are someone that says yes a lot, to just say you don't know, and then really take the opportunity, because it might just be an habitual reflex to say yes when someone asks you to do something. But this then gives you the space and time to be able to really feel into, because it is a feeling sense. I've found it isn't an intellectual place from where you want to be clear on if it's something that feels good or not, you know, if it's something that's going to support your well-being or not. You really need to feel it instead of thinking it, because you may think, oh, yeah, I should do that, that's a good idea, but then you find yourself, as you're doing it, resenting it or not feeling good at all about it. So it's good to really just say you don't know, or let me think to you, or let me get back to you on that, and then take the time to feel in and see, does this feel good? Is this a good use of my time and energy right now? Is this feeling like an energy drain? You know, is this an equal energy exchange? Those are all good questions you can ask to be clear on if you really want to move forward with that or not, that request. You know, I see so many women, sometimes women will just call and say, you know, I'm trying to figure out if I should do this thing or not. And, you know, I'll say, well, do you want to? And, well, not, no. No, I don't. But, you know, it's a big deal for them to get to, because they don't want to let people down. Yeah, a million reasons. We all have for these things. But being able to just buy yourself some time to really feel into what does it feel like in your body to go ahead and, you know, go to that, you know, gathering, you know, if that's what you're getting invited to. Does it feel like it's going to be too much? Does it feel stressful? Does it feel like it would be a lot versus not going, you know, and really take the time to feel it and sense it in your body is so critical toward being able to really get clear, like Kathy was saying, on boundaries, on having clear boundaries of extending your energy or retracting it and really taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's really important. The consequences of not taking care of yourself, of course, I mean, it depends on how extreme it's been, how far the pendulum has swung to self-care or lack of self-care. It can be quite, like you said, quite difficult to actually say no. So taking those steps to get there, saying maybe, saying let me think about it, that's helpful, especially if you're really far swung on the other side of no self-care at all. And then practicing those things of seeing what feels good. And I've had so much success with that over the last few years. And it's just been the consequences of not taking care of myself were so dramatic. And now I look at my life compared to the way it was, and everything is in such a better space. So my health, my relationships, mental health, emotional health, physical health, everything is so much better than it was before. And I have so much more to give now that I have given to myself. But the consequences of not doing it are just such a miserable life, really, either feeling jealousy or blame or, you know, critical of others or judgment, feeling like you're a victim or you have no control. All of those things, it's such a huge contrast. So the benefits of taking care of yourself are so huge.
It's so true. And I was just thinking, too, I think another helpful way to transition is, you know, even maybe just telling your friends and family for a weekend or a few days that, hey, you know, I'm just taking space for myself. I'm having a little retreat, you know. I think even just kind of kickstarting a new way of being with just a lot of space and quiet, like if you can find a day even or 2 days to just really drop into yourself and not have so many obligations. Because when there's so many, you know, I find with talking to people, it's like you just lose yourself. And I think when you lose yourself, you start feeling you don't feel good inside, and so you don't feel good towards others, and it really messes with relationships and your work and everything you're doing. So even if you can just start with a little mini retreat for yourself, and especially even if you could even find like one day a week where it's just your day, like Kathy's no day. I think just really even having that to get some deeper renewal, deeper connection to yourself, deeper awareness, and taking care of yourself can go a long way too. So there's really a lot of great strategies to take better care. Thank goodness. So I see Lydia's on the call, which is really nice. So Lydia, if you have any questions or you want to share or connect, it'd be lovely to connect with you. Also, anyone on the webcast, just type something in. We'd love to connect with you as well. And Kathy, what are some other things you were, you know, you talked to like all of the superhero women, you connect with so many people, and what were some of the other just issues or challenges?
Yeah, some of the challenges that are quite common are in relationships. So whether that's with friends, family, or partners, it's quite prevalent that relationships struggle when the care is not given to self. And it also then goes into the resentment and blame, just challenges in relationships.
What do you mean by that, Kathy?
So when this is a big concern for a lot of women, that they have challenges in relationships and they're not sure how to correct them, or whether it's worth correcting them or not, but a lot of times they are lacking self-care as well. So I think some helpful tips or thoughts or reflections on how to have a healthy relationship with self, and then going into how that affects relationships with others would be helpful.
Is it with their spouse oftentimes?
It's spouse and a lot of times other women, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So friends or family, but women in particular.
Mm.
Well, that's a pretty wide margin of inquiry.
Yeah.
I mean, we could just answer it as widely by saying, take the high road, love everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it would be nice to have some specifics. You know, so if there's people that are, like Ariel said, there's ladies on the call, and if there is relationship questions, this is a good arena for us to talk about that also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. So, take the high road, love everybody. That's part of what to do. Absolutely.
Definitely. You know, and that high road is easily taken when we take care of ourselves. You know, I mean, I guess it just really comes back to that theme of when we really are feeling full of love, then we're easily giving it. You know, we really have love for everybody and appreciation, and it's so much easier to give. So I can see how that a big consequence of not taking care of ourselves would be challenged in relationships and not having that love. So
when I was figuring out for myself what was lacking several years ago, and love being one of them, I understood that I had expectations around where love could come from, but that's not just love, it's anything, like where money can come from. You sort of have these expectations of the past that it will come through, and when I dropped the expectations of how it could come to me, then it started coming from everywhere. So I think that was a really helpful thing for me. Is you know, dropping the expectations around labels. So how does a sister behave? How should a sister behave? Well, it's not up to me to decide that. Each individual will love as they can and give what they can, despite the label that is attached to them. So that was super helpful to me, just dropping those expectations of where it could come from. And then also identifying what's missing for me, what I thought was missing, and becoming that myself. So if I felt like I was lacking love, I became love. I gave love wherever I could. And again, then it started coming back at me from everywhere.
Oh, that's beautiful, Kathy. I remember when you were practicing that, and just witnessing you is always makes a huge smile on my face. It's amazing. You were put in really challenging situations with family, mm-hmm. and relatives and you know, connections, and how you were able to move through that with your connection to the divine and just with your, it was like you really had this firm faith. That's kind of what I saw. You had this really firm faith that even when things were falling, seemed to be falling apart, you were really staying true to love. I definitely witnessed that.
Yeah. And I think that part of it was, the key as well is the connection with the divine. Having that with a very solid, very tight relationship is one of the key factors that helped in that transformation for sure.
Definitely. That's
I just want to comment on what Ariel said, because I think that was really a critical point worth emphasizing, which is this idea that if we are not in integrity with ourselves and our own self-care, then it's very difficult to everything's difficult, honestly, from there. I mean, it really is what self-care is the foundation and base upon which your whole spiritual life, your whole energetic being exists upon. And without that base, you're crippled. I mean, you're disabled, honestly. And you're going to be dysfunctional and out of balance. And the more you tend to that base and have it be, it's kind of like an integrity issue if it's out. Like that's what, if I don't exercise, if I don't eat well, which I don't, I don't do that because it costs too much, you know, integrity wise. But, you know, were I to do that, I mean, I can look back when times when I have, and I remember the cost is so great in terms of the, just your energetic level of integrity that it's just not worth doing. But that's taken a while to get to that place of, to have that level of a foundation. And knowing that by maintaining that, I'm actually maintaining everything above it. So, you know what I mean? Like, I know I can't make much of a difference in the world if I'm not walking my talk at a very basic fundamental level. And, you know, the most basic of all is the caring for ourselves, you know, caring for our selves in the best, highest possible way. That's the most basic foundation of integrity. And from there, everything, on that base, you can build anything. And so it really is the source of our power, which is why, one, we wanted to talk about it in this call, but also, it's why so much of the superhero training and the practices in the superhero training evolve around self-care, honestly. I mean, if you were to make a whole sheet of all the practices in the training and put on one side, these are all creating a foundational base of self-care and integrity, it would probably be everything. I mean, I don't know what would be on the other side. Well, no, I'm sure there would be other things on the other side, like just practical in the world, you know, things, of course. But the majority of the practices would be building that foundation and base of self-care. Because like Ariel said, that is our integrity. That's the source of our power. And it's important to see it like that rather than just, well, like, I know I should do this. I know I have to do this. Versus really seeing like, wow, this is everything. This is everything. In doing this, it gives me everything else.
Precisely. That's exactly it.
Yeah, exactly. It's flipping it around, like Taylor said in the beginning. It's just flipping the model of I'll do self-care when I get to it to my main priority is taking care of myself. Because it really is our integrity. I mean, we can look at the subtleties of things as well. You know, there's the actions you take. And then there's also how you're being in yourself when you're doing those things. And I know for myself, if I don't take care of myself, it's hard for me to be as present. It's hard for me to be energized and really available to even be of service. So it's like, you know, I've just found I'm not really going to be able to be of service if I'm not full. You know, it's literally like trying to drive your car on empty, or the, you know, you're about to be completely out of gas. So it's absolutely essential for, of course, all of the superheroes, all of these superheroes, because a superhero is a hero for others, right? A hero in the world. So it starts with you.
Yeah, and that's a great analogy, the gasoline on the car thing, because it is just like that. When you, and I also like you said full, because it is like a, you know, when you have that base that we're talking about, self-care and nurturing, you do become overflowing. It's as if your energy field, your energy configuration, it's overflowing, so you have some to give. You aren't void. You know, you aren't like a bank, you know, like where there's nothing left. You're not in a minus balance. You're in a plus balance. And that plus balance is, like Ariel said, what allows you to be in service, what has you want to be in service. Like, you know, the other day I went to get a massage, and I'm really super careful about who I select for massages, because often I'll look at massage therapists and they'll be like, that person needs a massage. Like, I'm not the
right.
I'm just looking at them and they look like, you know, you're like their ace massage that day, you know, they're top, you know, they're texting the kids on the phone, you know, they're like going to squish you in before they have to, you know. And with people, I just would be like, yeah, not going to happen. I mean, you know, I like to have a massage practitioner who's like this bubbly thing and all excited and can hardly wait. And, you know, you can tell they aren't, their bank is full, like Ariel is saying, their gas tank is full. They're overflowing with energy that they want to share and contribute and give to you. You know, that's the kind of massage I want to get, so I don't feel guilty. Like, this poor person, you know, they would rather be, like, not doing this than, you know, but they're on the schedule and here I am, you know.
Exactly. And, they and like, you can feel it. You know that. So it's, like, if you're there to be of service to someone else and you're feeling like that massage therapist who needs a massage, then it's not real service. It's, like, all of us here, it's in our hearts to be of service. Absolutely. That's why we're here. And you know, it's doing other service as well, actually, to really take care of yourself. You know, I think women care a lot, and that's why women have the tendency to take care of others before themselves. But just seeing it that you really can't take care of others unless you take care of yourself. Like, Kathy, I know you said your daughter wasn't feeling good yesterday and you were able to help her. And I'm sure that's because you felt full. You felt like you had that.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, though, as Taylor was saying, that women are some of the most guilty feeling when they don't care for others. That's, I think, something to recognize within yourself. If you're not taking care of yourself, you must. Feel guilty about not taking care of yourself rather than taking care of yourself, because it's a necessity in order to serve. Not saying that everyone should feel guilty about anything, but if there was guilt about it, it's better the other way. Make sure that you do take care of yourself so that you can serve, and it's not something to feel guilty about by taking that time for yourself. Oh, I know. I'm a much better mother when I've taken care of myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're much better people, honestly. And that's so critical there, that guilty thing, because so many people have that. Like, I'll hear some women say, well, I'm going to sneak off and do blank. It's like,
yeah.
Sneak off? Like, what are you talking about? You know, or, you know, just comments like that, which, again, you know, these are inherited patterns. We have to recognize that. I mean, I was listening to something the other day. I can't remember what it was, but they were actually talking about that. As far as they were concerned, women... role was in the home, you know, taking care of children and making food and, you know, doing all the chores. That's it. Like, that was their whole deal. I can't remember what it was, but it was this whole culture, actually, which, you know, we are living in a world where that's the case right now. We, you know, it's easy to forget that as Western women, how really privileged we are, actually, to be able to have the freedom of choice and free will to take care of ourselves. You know, that's huge. That's a gift. It's not that a lot of women don't even have. Even if they wanted it, you know, they could be killed, honestly, if they snuck off and took a bath without permission.
That's a really good point.
I mean, so we have to recognize these patterns run deep within us. They, you know, we've inherited them. It's the culture that we're in, and so it's no wonder why it can be challenging. You know, we are evolving and bringing to light serious unconscious and deep patterns of persecution and being wrong. So that feeling guilty is consistent with that you were wrong if you did that, you know, if you sought your own pleasure, you know, shame on you. Like, what are you thinking?
So that's the point. Sorry, Taylor, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's important for us to be able to embrace that, you know, these things are deep. You know, we don't even recognize where they came from. You know, maybe you didn't inherit them from your mother, but they're there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that people can do then is start to become aware of the words that they use to describe their self-care. Like, if they say sneak away, well, then there's something... That's like they have to steal it or take it. But becoming aware of the words they use to describe it could be a start to making a transition to not feeling guilt.
That's an excellent idea. And to support other women in their verbiage. Like, you know, I talk to a lot of women, and when I hear them say things like that, you know, and this is something we can do to support one another, is just point it out. Say, hey, hold on a minute. Did you hear what you just said there? And that's so important. That's such great support, because probably they don't even realize they're saying it.
Mm-hmm. Well, most likely they don't. Like, those things come out just by default, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's deep. It's definitely deep, you know, and I think the crazy part of all of this is that those feelings of guilt of, you know, needing to take care of the whole household and all of kind of the domestic chores and food and tidy and, you know, all of those things. And then on top of that, so many women are then doing so much more. Like, that used to be and really is a full-time job. And then on top of that, there's so much more, you know, their work, of course, children than there before. And you know, doing work in the world, and then trying to actually do all of those things is actually unsustainable. It's not practical. You can't do everything, you know. And so it just leads to exhaustion. And if you're someone who is, you know, living by yourself, it's wonderful, because you really can realize that you're not going to be able to do everything yourself, and to give yourself more time and more space. You know, let yourself off the hook of having to have an absurd amount of
things done on your own, you know, in a day. So I think one thing is just giving yourself space. And if you are in a relationship, cooperation is so powerful, because we are so fortunate to live with so much freedom. And in many of our relationships, there is a willingness probably to have a conversation, and that you don't no longer have to take care of every household thing and your business and work and the children. You're all on your own. But that you can create cooperation. And, you know, I'd like to see what Kathy and Taylor have to say on this too. For Michael and I, you know, we cooperate, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'll take care of the dishes, and I keep the house tidy and, you know, on top of all those things. I'm like, you can put on lunch every day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be responsible for every single thing in the house or in the work we do together. And I think when we just bring this game of cooperation into our lives, there's so much healing that takes place. So much more balance is created. So if you have that opportunity of someone else in your life, having these conversations can make a world of difference. Do you find that as well, Kathy and Taylor, in your relationship?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so critical. Well, actually, a few things you said were critical. One, the point of over-scheduling is we just can't pass that by, because that, to me, is where if self-care is going to break down, personally, for myself, it's going to break down there. I've had to really learn over the years what does feel good for me to schedule in a day. And, you know, it modulates depending on what, you know, I'm dealing with, or maybe a lot of different factors. But it's really shocking. Like, I've had to really, as kind of the intensity of the planet has rose, and so much light is spilling down. I mean, kind of really, one could say, just getting through the day is already a lot for us as energetic spiritual beings on the planet. and by that I mean like the basic, you know, the care and feeding of ourselves, just getting through the day. So, and we have to recognize that. We aren't living in the same world that we grew up in. None of us are living in the same world that we grew up in at all. And so what we have to recognize is really to be able to be willing to shift. Like maybe last month we could do X, Y, and Z in a day, but, you know, can we do that this week? Or do we even want to do it this week? Because if I schedule too many things and I'm feeling, like, especially if I have to rush from one thing to another, like I look at my schedule and it's like, hold on a minute, I only have a half hour to get from there to there, and or, you know, I have that call and then I have this call. Like, where am I going to eat? Like, well, I need to get outside. Like, what? You know, and I've really started to reexamine my schedule such that it needs to feel really good. Or I notice I get a little freaked out. Like, I start to get like, I don't even want to do my day. Like, I look at my schedule and my energy drops. And that's a sure sign. That isn't a good schedule. You know, that's not a self-care schedule. And see, that's what you want to pay attention to. Like, you know, like, all right, hold on a minute. And often I find, like, if I have too many calls back to back and I look at it and my energy goes down, they will cancel. They'll cancel. I mean, and I'm always happy when they do. It's like, oh, praise the Lord, you know, that's good. You know, and the person will be like, oh, I'm so sorry I had to move. I'm like, no, that's fine. Like, let's move you. You know, so all these little things are so important. So often I find I have, like, I'll be on the phone with someone and they'll tell me what they're doing. And I get tired just hearing. I'm like, wait a minute, you're going from there to this to that? Like, you know, I don't know how you're doing that. Honestly. And they're like, yeah, I don't know either. I mean, so it's like, well, so this is right here, so critical that we really assess what we've committed to in a day, or what we're going to commit to, as energy? And how does it feel? Like, is there enough time between this thing or the other that you're not going to have to rush? Because nobody likes to rush. It stresses our nervous system out. It's a mess. Or, you know, get food, or, you know, do the things that you know that you need to do to feel good. You know, take a break in between your day, or whatever it is, you know. And sometimes we can just lose sight of that. We just schedule, pile everything up without first really examining how, if this is the day, how am I going to feel at the end of this day? And if you look at your schedule and you're like, ugh, you know, even before you get started on it, you're already exhausted. These are good tips and cues to, you know, reexamine. Anytime you have that feeling of like, ugh, or I don't really want to do this, but I got to do it, you know, that, all that, all those little things are ways that we can start to be much more responsible and design our schedule such that it really is, it does feel good, and it does embody, you know, moving from one thing to another in self-care, because it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Ariel said in the beginning, you got the morning and the night, and it's fair enough, you do have that, but honestly, you've got to keep that, to have a real, pure life of self-care involved, looking at your whole day, every day, and, you know, as you move from one event to another, are you allowing for feeling good? Are you allowing for the self-care that you know you're going to need, you know, given what you're committing yourself to?
That's super important, Taylor. Super important. Yeah. Like the moment-by-moment reassessment of how you feel. And that,
and
when
is,
you, when
and
you get really...
Mm-hmm. I think what you said is good, because it is a moment by moment deal.
Yeah, yeah. And when you get really in alignment with yourself, when you've taken the time to take care of yourself, then you know when things are even just slightly askew, rather than, like I said before, with the pendulum swinging way to the side of lack of self-care for too long and you're depleted, you don't really know that you're not as sensitive to the minor shifts. But when you start to really become in alignment with yourself and what is right for you and nurturing of you, then you can recognize those little shifts as they come and can adjust them. It's super important.
That's right. And
exactly.
So important. And by doing that, you're avoiding the tsunami that's at the other end. Like, you don't. And that's usually, you know, that's when people are just spent, you know, their adrenals are wiped out. They're like, oh, I can't do another thing. Why? Well, because they weren't like constantly checking in, like, how's that feel? How's that feel? What if I do this? How's that going to feel like? You know, should I swap the kids here? Or, like, should I have somebody else do that? Like, maybe I should stay at home and do this while the husband's out, or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I think that goes in to speak to your question too, Ariel, about the cooperation in relationships, because a lot of times I think that there's, again, expectations around roles, who's going to do what, and it's oftentimes unspoken. And when one person gets overscheduled, or if it's not spoken, if it's not communicated about the change in the level of cooperation, or the roles that are going to shift and adjust according to individual needs in that day, then if it's not communicated, there can be a lot of resentment or blame or just irritation, frustration when things don't get done, if things are overscheduled. So the cooperation is important, but also the communication of those adjustments that are needed moment by moment.
Right. Yes. You know, so much flexibility is involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I couldn't agree more with what you both are saying, and I have so much space in my day. I love the word space. It's spaciousness, you know, it's a wonderful thing, because we can actually have the ease of just being able to check in. If we pack our day too much, we're sensitive to energy, and there's too much going on. It's almost like you start to not be able to hear yourself, and it just can get worse and worse. So the consequence is so high of not allowing for space. and that involves being in relationship. You know, if I just create space in my own life and flexibility, then I can be there for Michael if he's really busy. I can be there for other people if they need a little bit more support or help. Like, it's like leaving space for the unplanned and leaving space for yourself if when you're checking in, you know, moment to moment. Yeah, I need to go for a walk right now. And that's what feels right. You leave no space, and it's unnecessarily stressful, you know.
You know, when you just said that helping when Michael has more on his plate, you have that space to be able to help. That's one of my most favorite positive consequences of taking care of myself and bringing in that space and also bringing in a sense of freedom in myself, in my schedule, in my day, in what I do, because now it's one of my most favorite things to do is to be able to jump in and help somebody in need right now. So just for anything, it's really nice to be able to have that freedom to do that. And it doesn't cause me any stress because I have that space. So it's really, I just love that feeling.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying, you know, is important to recognize that requests are fundamental. Making requests are fundamental, which is another thing, you know, women can be, in fact, you know, just yesterday I was talking to a woman, she just had a little baby, and her mother-in-law is there to take care of, you know, help out, and her sister-in-law, and that she's feeling like all this anxiety and overwhelm that, you know, maybe it was a wrong idea to have two kids. I mean, this was a conversation. You know, maybe I should have thought before I had another kid, and I just wish I could give this baby away. That's what she said. And she said, it's just too much. I said, well, you know, you got, like, two women there, like, helping you. Like, what? She said, well, you know, I just feel guilty, like, asking them. Now, mind you, they intentionally came over to be at her house, live there, while, you know, she's dealing with a newborn, to just be of service, period. That's their whole role in being there. And I pointed that out to her, but even still, she said, well, you know, I just feel like it's just such an imposition to constantly be asking them for help. And, you know, that's really illuminating to see all they're doing is really standing around asking how they can be of service and, you know, just giving them joy to do that and be there. And even at that level, making requests for her was difficult. Yeah. And so we have to understand that making requests is difficult, can be difficult. And there's also this other thing that goes on, which is, you know, bad news, but we should just talk about it, which is this idea, and so many women say this to me, well, they should just know what I need about their partner. Like, I shouldn't have to ask. I shouldn't have to ask, for God's sake. I'm standing here, I'm all blah, blah. If they see, I obviously need help. And the answer to that is absolutely not. Like, no. And if, as long as you go on thinking that, you know, it's a nightmare, really, because they're just self-sabotaging themselves with that. But a lot of women also have that thought. Like, my part, I should not have to constantly ask. And it's just also this other thing. Like, I already asked him once.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that I like blah, blah, blah. Why? You know, I'm just tired of asking. I don't know how many times. I can't tell you how many times someone says to me. You know, I've already asked. You know how many times I've asked for that? He knows I want that. No, I'm not going to ask anymore. It's like, okay, then, you know, who are you hurting there? Like, how's that a win for you? But, so, this idea of making, and, you know, like, R.L. saying, like, I recognize that you have to recognize men, especially if we're talking about a men, a male-female, you know, partnership. They just think differently, period, end of story. You know, that's the whole beginning and end of that story. And so while we women are tracking probably every request ever made in a family unit, so I can't even think it goes back 20 years, you know. They can easily forget a request from a half hour away, you know. So, I have no problem continuously reminding Jeff or making requests of Jeff that I know one could say he should know that I already want. You know what I mean? It would fall in that category, but that's just nuts.
Yeah.
And so I've just recognized, you know what, I'm going to probably have to ask Jeff for this numerous times, and I don't care. And frankly, he doesn't care because he often hears it as the first time I've ever asked. Yeah, he just flows a bit. But, yeah, we have a whole little system. You know, we look at, like, what – like, he doesn't like to wash vegetables, for example, and clean them, but he likes to juice, and he doesn't mind cleaning the juicer. Well, I can't stand doing either of those things. Like, if it was up to me and he wasn't around, I wouldn't have juice. I wouldn't have it. I'd throw everything in the blender and be done, you know. But he's into juicing, and he likes juice. And so we have it all worked out. You know, he does what he does. I do what I do. And it's good. And like Arielle was saying, that's critical to really have a look, sit down and talk about, all right, here's all things that, you know, we want to do this day. You know, what are you going to do? I'll do this. And sometimes you do have to, frankly, do things you don't like. I mean, honestly, I do have to do that also. But the point is that you work it out. Like this idea that if you're in an intimate partnership and the woman should be doing all the, you know, cooking, cleaning, and domestic house chores, like RL's saying, is nuts. And it's not even practical. And furthermore, it's like I told this woman who just had a baby that wanted to give it away. And she really did. She really did. She said, I just want to, you know, I just wish someone would take this thing from me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I said is, you know what? That's an absolutely natural feeling to have at this stage of the game. You know, she has a little toddler running around screaming and wanting this, that. And, you know, it really, we weren't meant, you know, women were not meant to have, you know, she's like, it's fine now, but what happens when these two leave? And, you know, so she was just in tremendous anxiety and fear thinking about what happens when the two women are there supporting her leave and she's on her own. Like, she's going to fail miserably. She'll never be able to do all this. And she just was going down and decided it'd be better just to give the kid away, you know. And what I said to her was like, you know what, like, the fact that any woman is raising a child on her own and expected to do everything that's involved in that, you know, plus a toddler and make all the meals, blah, 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 isn't natural. So it's no wonder why you're feeling like you want to give this child away. Like, really? For centuries, you would be in a community where there'd be, you know, all sorts of, individuals involved in raising that child, you know, like the whole it takes a community to raise a kid thing. And that's really true. So these anxiety like places that women can get in about having so much to do about raising children are in a way valid because it's not natural that we should actually be raising children in a community structure where there's all sorts of, you know, grandparents and family members to help out. That's what's natural. And so, and we have to recognize that. So that's why, you know, having support and help and asking for it when you don't have it is really a very natural solution as human beings, you know, to do. And this idea of like, and she even said, well, you know, I feel like I should be able to do it on my own. I know other women that can do it on their own, and they don't seem to have any problem. I'm like, you know what? You may think that, but you go hang out in their house for a while and see how it's going. You know, maybe they look like they have it all together from the outside, but, you know, spend like a week there and then tell me that. You know what I mean? Like, there's this idea, and I think this is worth, you know, really bringing light to that. If you're a pulled together woman and mother, you should be able to do it all. You should be the super mom. You should be able to do it all on your own. You know, have 20 plates spinning in the air, nothing's dropping, and you're, you know, sitting there doing your nails. You know, that's that's this idea that a lot of women are trying to live up to, and frankly, it's bankrupt. It's not even true, and it's not even healthy. There's nothing true or healthy about it at all.
Yeah. No, I see that from a lot of people, actually. Women feel that they should be able to do it all, and then somehow feeling negative towards themselves because they can't, which is so unhealthy.
Yeah, they should
well.
Be the supermoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dinner should be on the table, you know, all the, I mean, it's just, it's craziness, and it's not at all even a role model to want to aspire to, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kathy, you know, you're quite amazing because you are a mom, and you also are of support to so many in your work. And you know, let's hear from you about just your experience, because you have raised two absolutely extraordinary young girls, and I'm sure you have some things to share for other mothers who have a lot that they're juggling.
Of how to balance, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
I didn't listen to that inner voice of it's time to take care of yourself. I didn't listen, and then I crashed in pretty much every area. So I took the hard route, and then I've recognized the benefit of having those boundaries and that care for myself that I was expecting other people to provide for me. I think I've always done well in taking care of my kids, but not over caring. So making sure that they can fend for themselves as well. But it's been a pleasure for me. That's one of my joys I think that's my natural role, really, is the mother part. But I'm definitely not the cook. I'm not the housekeeper. That's not my forte. So I'd gladly have anybody take care of those things for me. And I think part of my success. It's part of the feeling of having control, but then also having happiness. Is recognizing those areas that are blissful for me and tending to my children. That is one of the most favorite things for me. I value physical health. I value nutrition, but that's not where my passion is. So that's not where I spend a lot of my time. I kind of just do what's necessary. And like I said, I'd gladly have somebody come and take care of that for me. But right now that's what is part of my role, just because that's I fit into it, you know, with different schedules and whatnot. But I also ask for help.
Well, you know,
that's
a good point right there. Is you have identified what you like to do and what you're good at and what you enjoy and what you don't, and that's so critical right there, because you know, like, you know what? I'm not really into cleaning, so I'm going to bring someone in to do that. That's self-care.
Yeah,
that's the perfect example.
Yes, precisely. But then also with areas that, like Taylor, you were saying, sometimes you do have to do some things that you don't really like. And so, you know what? You just do. You just do. I could resent it, or I can do it happily. And something that I've, I don't know, it's kind of quirky, but I've used as a trick, a tip, is to find the gem in each task or duty that I'm doing that isn't my favorite. And it's now, because I consciously did that, now I have true appreciation for these certain things. So when I take a load of laundry out of the dryer and I put it on the couch waiting for me to fold later because I'm not into it right now, I can actually sit and look at that laundry and think how beautiful it is because it's so color coordinated, like the colors blend so beautifully together, and it's a pile of art is what I think. My kids think I'm a little bit odd for saying that, but I will say to them, just look at how beautiful that looks. And I was telling them for a while I was going to start taking pictures of my piles of laundry because they are very artistic, but so it's just stuff like that. A lot of the times I try to make either a game or light of a situation without not denying the aspect that I don't like. Like, I'm not shoving things down and just thinking positively or anything like that, I'm just trying to find gems in the areas. But I also will ask for help, and I'll ask for help with things from my kids or my husband, from extended family, from just I ask for help, and I never used to. So that's been a huge change for me and very successful. But then also, because I'm taking care of myself, I am able to give more. And really, it seems like I don't have a lot of time, but I really do have a lot of time because I'm so full. I don't feel like I work, actually. I feel like I'm enjoying life. So I don't know, I think you just have to really get into finding what you like. And I used to have people tell me that I needed to stop doing certain things, like taking on certain things. But I had got to a point where it's like, but everything I'm doing, I love. So I don't want to drop these things. Certainly I can take a break and just do nothing for a day, and that's fine. But everything in my life is something I love doing. So.
Well, that's a good point right there, you know, to reexamine that very thing. If everything in your life is something you love doing, and if not, you know, is there a shift that you can make? Because that's an energy drain right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're continuing on things that don't give you joy and pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the things we don't always expect, because it's almost like we can think, oh, I have to do all these things and I feel guilty asking for help or someone else to do this. But one of the most amazing things is I've found this so often, and I imagine you all have too, that when you actually do ask and you actually are honest about, you know, just drains my energy even thinking about doing this thing. I'll happily do this, right? And then I like doing this. And you get really clear about what fills you and what you actually naturally love. The cool thing is it actually usually aligns, like, amazingly well. Like, I'm, like, in shock of the things that I really love doing, for even the work Michael and I do. It's like the things I love doing, he doesn't want to do. And the things that he loves doing, I don't want to do. And the things in the house that I really can't stand, you know, he's up for, and so forth. And it's, you might be actually quite pleasantly surprised as you start asking for help, the perfection of the cooperation that unfolds and the harmony that's created. I think there's a purpose for it. You know, I think we are put with the people in our lives for a reason, and we balance each other and we support each other. And just using your voice to share what you love doing, what you appreciate and what you don't, you'll find there's fewer and fewer things that you end up doing that you don't love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually quite amazing.
Yeah, I've found that happen too. And also the more recognition of the things that you love, like when we talk about superhero training, what's your best day ever? Really, it's so important to figure out those things you want in your day. And then when you have them more and more consistently, it just naturally pushes out the things that you don't really have alignment with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, well, do we have anyone wanting to share over there, Ariel?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. We do have someone who typed in, but I don't have a name, but a beautiful energy. Just saying aloha, everyone. Just came in, love the subject matter. I'm working on this as I am immersed in family now. Retreat time is necessary for sure, and making that time feels so much more refreshing, and I am able to be there for others after. So lovely to have you. I think it's someone in the UK. I could be wrong, but whenever I find that souls in the UK, they often put an XOXO, like a, you know, hug kiss sign. It's really sweet, and I don't usually see that from people in the U.S., so I think it might be one of our U.K. sisters. And, yeah, on the line, start to raise your hand. We'd love to connect.
if you'd like to.
Yeah, it'd be great to hear from some callers. Any questions they have?
Yeah.
Topics.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and unmute Miss Lydia. Hopefully it's okay for her. Oh, she raised her hand just as I said that. Hi, Lydia.
What do you know? That's attention there, Ariel.
There we go.
Hello, superheroines.
Hello.
I'm so happy to connect with you, and I feel very empowered from this call. I don't have any particular question at the moment, so I just really wanted to say thank you for doing this call. It's really important, and I think these simple reminders, and especially the ones that come from your everyday lives, for me are very deep, because it just grounds, you know, theoretical suggestions to, you know, real life superhero challenges. So I really appreciate that, and it touches me. And to be able to know practically, oh, okay, this is an example, or this is how they do it, or, you know, this is how you resolve it in your own personal situation. So thank you for opening up and sharing your own stories. And I've been also, just a little hint, I've been also connecting with two different women that are responsible here for the refugee camps. We discussed that before with Taylor, and I will connect with Taylor more on that, but I have been talking to these women, and oh my goodness, I don't even really know how they handle what they handle without actually having, you know, a superhero other training. So I am truly amazed every day from things that I will read, or personal stories, or from you guys, what a woman can do. I mean, from being a super mom, from being a super businesswoman, from, you know, saving refugees. It's just, this energy is incredible, and it's also so elastic, so it can reach so many different borders. And I honor that, and I remember at some point in the past when I was much younger, I would resent it. I would feel, oh, men are so much luckier. You know, I wish I was a man. It's so much easier for them. But the true magic of being a woman, I have been discovering for the last few years, and I feel the honor every day. I look at a super heroine like you guys, like those that I've been in contact with, and so many others. So that's for me, and big hug to all of you over the call, and other sisters that are just listening. And yeah
well, praise the Lord, Lydia. I mean, first of all, you know, geez, that was so great what you said about elastic. That's such a great word and analogy, and it really is like that. They say, if you want to change your world, begin by changing yourself. Taking care of yourself will take care of the world, and that's a perfect word to describe that phenomenon. You know, a lot of women say to me, oh, you know, I wish I had time to do this, that, or the other thing, but, you know, I'm just busy taking care of my kids all day. Well, guess what? That is changing the world every single day. Every time we take care of ourselves and each other and are being in service to each other, which essentially is what mothers do all day long. And these women, like you're talking about at the refugee camps. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like, where on earth, how are they doing this? Well, where on earth and how they're doing it is that they are in such a deep place of service. It's giving them energy. It's giving them juice, as we all know. You know, we've all had that experience. It's what has us be together here and doing what we're doing. on this call. And so, but that was a beautiful example of the there's an elasticness that occurs as you're taking care of yourself or others. You become more flexible, more, bigger, really. You just become bigger. You're able to traverse greater expanses of time and space. That's the power of being in service. And then I love the other thing you said, which is, and I'm sure Ariel and Kathy have something to add on this, but I just want to say it so we don't lose it, which is this idea of, like, being happy that you're a woman, you know, that seeing the opportunity and the power of that versus, being born a man. And that there's so much to celebrate. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but often women do come from, well, you know, if I was a man, I'd have a lot more opportunity. I'd be getting paid more. You know, all these kind of configurations. But honestly, you know, there's so much we have to bring to the table. You know, it's no wonder why Dalai Lama says that Western women in the end are going to be the ones that save the world. Why? Because we have the greatest ability and opportunity. You know, we aren't being, we aren't getting acid thrown on ourselves because we want to study or look at an internet or go out of the house. You know what I mean? Like, we have so much opportunity for self-expression and contribution that it's, you know, it's just a huge blessing. So I appreciate you saying that, Lydia, because it's easy to forget that. It's easy to forget that we were born this way. This is our birthright and such a huge gift we have in being a woman to contribute that's unique in all the world.
Yeah, I'm so glad this topic's been brought up as well. It's such an honor to be a woman at this time. You know, it's such a powerful time, and we have such a, like, it's even hard to put words to the vastness of our role. You know, just women have such natural qualities of care and of healing, of nurturing, of love, and these are really the qualities that the whole planet needs in so many ways. So, you know, all of us have been given such an immense gift, you know, such a huge gift, of being a woman in this time, and, you know, being someone who is at the forefront of creating a new way of being. You know, the entire world as a whole has been thrown way out of balance, and so it really is our own consciousness and our own care and our own love and our own generosity and nourishment that is bringing the world to greater healing. It's just totally amazing, you know. It's lovely to hear you speak to that, Lydia and Taylor and Kathy. I mean, we have so much. We have so much power behind us, you know, like we're so supported on a deep energetic level. Like, it's not just, you know, it's not just you on your own. It's like there's so much energy behind you and surrounding you and with you and supporting you and, like, putting you in front. So it's such an honor, you know, and we're so blessed.
You know, it reminds me, when you were talking, Ariel, of, I don't know, you might not be be aware of this whole thing, Lydia, but, you know, there's this whole situation that's been happening in Standing Rock with the American or Native peoples of the U.S., you know, their land and, their water is being challenged by a pipeline going through there. And it's become a real symbol in this country anyways, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are tracking it in the world, a lot of indigenous people from all over the world have come there to really be a stand for our our land and water and the environment but just basically balance really from the Hinnik in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been tracking it. I have a lot of friends that are there and just kind of was weighing like, all right, is it time to go? You know, kind of listening. Is it time to go? Time to pack up the car and head to North Dakota to get some warm clothes. But, you know, one of the things that I saw, I mean, I've just seen a lot of things, but one of the things that was just so touching was on Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, Thanksgiving in our country is this holiday. It's supposed to be all about, actually, was supposed to originate with the native people of this country. And so it was kind of interesting that this whole thing was coming down there. But on Thanksgiving Day dinner, Jane Fonda was serving dinner. And Jane Fonda, if you don't know who she is this, like, really just timeless woman activist who always just was ahead of her time and spoke her truth, really, just continuously spoke her truth. And there she was, you know, serving Thanksgiving dinner. And I was just like, wow. I mean, okay. I mean, no one else would. She just embodied the divine feminine so beautifully just in that gesture of serving dinner. And, you know, a lot of what's happening there is so, it's just a real example of the times that we're living in and the power of the times we're living in. You know, I posted that thing on the Facebook site of the best actually asking for forgiveness from the Native American people for all the injustices they've done to them over the years. And, I mean, you know, I just saw that and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, it's all happening here. That, you know, this is really all the things that we've been really standing for and what we were born for is all occurring now in amazing times and amazing places. And just at the source of it, you can be sure, are powerful men and women, but women really are doing incredible things on this planet that are just awe-inspiring. And so we're all part of that. Like, they're standing on our shoulders, our energy, and our prayers and consciousness to make these miracles happen. I mean, when I saw that, I knew we were all responsible for that occurring. Our intentions, our self-care that we do every day, are we can see displayed in outcomes like that. And that's important to remember. It's that big. Our self-care is that big. Our self-care comes down to Jane Fonda serving dinner for, you know, a Standing Rock.
I totally agree with that,
Taylor.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It just ties it all together, the importance of your self-care, tuning in, aligning with yourself, speaking your truth, and there's where your power is.
Right, and it's bringing power
yeah.
to many others, you know,
yeah.
like lifting them up, bringing nourishment, bringing love, bringing strength. You know, I think that we do that for each other. And, you know, and when you're in a moment when you need more support, you know, it'll be there for you. And so number one is this amazing topic that we're on today that might seem so simple, but it's at the core of, I mean, it sounds extreme, but really at the core of world transformation. I mean, it is. It starts with ourselves and
truly
being full.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not extreme at all. It is the truth. It's actually how the energy works. That's nothing extreme about it. In fact, it actually can't be more simple. you know, be the change you want to see in the world. That's it. And if you're taking care of yourself, you know, the world will be taken care of. People will be taken care of. Events like that will unfold.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it starts here. Lydia, it was so good to hear your voice. Thank you for sharing with us and being here.
Thank you, lovely ladies. It's really beautiful to connect with you today. Much love.
And thank you for connecting with refugees as well, too.
Yeah, it's taken me some time, but through some magic synchronicities, it just came to me. At the time, yeah. I was least expecting, you know, how these things happen.
Of course. Well, good for you for doing that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's much, and so much love to you, Lydia. You're an amazing woman. So thank you. So, wow, there's so many amazing women in this training. It sounds like we found out afterwards, maybe many of them were working. At the same time, I know Lydia and those of you in the UK, this is a better time for you, but there's so much good happening, and there's so many beautiful things the superhero women are doing. You know, I hear bits and pieces, and I kind of see on social media and emails, but there's so much happening, and I know that it's coming from this deep core of self-care, and the more we strengthen this and the more we fill ourselves and we're very grounded and rooted in our true power and in our true love, it's just going to continue to be amazing as transformation continues to unfold. So I don't see, so on the webcast it's Crystal. She's going to take a personal retreat, and she is curious for ideas, you know, things we would recommend for a personal retreat, taking that time for herself. So that's a really good question. I would just say to start with, it's very personal. I think it's very unique to each of us. There's some things that we might all find nourishing, but there are specific things that each of us feel most filled with. You know, we're unique, and we even our bodies, we have unique constitutions that are different than others. So I would just start by thinking about the things that recharge you and renew you and fill you with energy and inspiration. And you might look at it on different levels of life. So what really fills you spiritually? What really nourishes you on a physical level? What really brings your body into just great balance, you know, emotionally? What really fills you? I think it's really personal. Is there anything else you, Kathy or Taylor, would feel to recommend to Crystal?
I agree. Yeah, I agree with what you've said. It's unique to each of us, and so identifying those things that really fill you are important. Examples from my own experience or my desires, if I were to do a personal retreat for a day or a couple days, I would definitely want to have some good books with me, and I would want to do something creative. So those would be, I'd still continue with my regular rituals, with my spiritual connection and yoga and whatnot. Those would just be a given, but to take some time away from everything else, or to rejuvenate, or to fill up, or just relax. I definitely would do something creative and have some good books.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's, you know, really dependent upon what your purpose in the retreat is. You know, if it's for a self-reflection, or for rejuvenation, or for inspiration. I mean, you know, it's hard to say, hard to comment, but like Kathy mentioned, I mean, in just retreats I've taken, I don't even like the word retreat, honestly, because I feel like it's going backwards or something. You know, when I've taken maybe what I would call a sabbatical or a vacation, I like vacation. You know, it depends. You know, for me, getting out in nature is always a plus. So I like to design my getaways as, you know, variations from what I would do on a regular basis. So I might do no, you know, internet or a cell phone or computer. Some, you know, being in nature, being someplace beautiful. I mean, for me, that's all. That's kind of my number one go-to for a retreat, is just being in nature and enjoying beauty. But all day long, you know, rather than, okay, I'm going to get out here for a little while. You know, but really, like this summer, we just did this road trip where we just lived in the van/tent, and it was so great because we were outside all the time. Even at night, you know, we were in a tent, but, you know, I mean, that's not much of an enclosure, honestly, I've discovered, especially when it started raining. but, you know, just being out, it just alters so much. Like, for me, that just eating outside is different, you know, preparing food outside is different. Everything is just at a whole different pace and vibration, and that's really healing for me. And you know, I like to go to bodies of water and jump in them. So, you know, I have like usually an agenda for what renewal looks like for me. You know, it's usually sleeping outside, going to sleep like as soon as the sun is down, not being on technical devices, and spending as much time as I can in nature. So that's high on my list. And also just, like I said, mixing up the, I mean, I'm still doing the basic practices of, you know, I'm still eating good food, I'm still doing exercise, things like that, but just mixing up that I don't have any schedule at all. I don't even know what time it is except the sun's rising and setting. And that usually is really also really nurturing and healing for me.
I agree with that. Yes, taking space away from even knowing what time it is and just having that timeless experience, I think it's so rejuvenating to the soul. I think we need that. It's not natural for us to be constantly in this, like, appointment to appointment, cramped, rushed phase. Yeah, so doing those things, I imagine for you, nature probably is part of it. Crystal, maybe artwork. I know you're an amazing artist, and that's a way you love to be creative and flow. So creativity. I love time and silence. I mean, for me, it's just silence, and stillness is really, really rejuvenating. I might be focusing my mind on a particular quality, it's like something I'm wanting to really bring into myself and really experience, connecting with the divine in that way. And just having, you know, you might do some writing or some journaling, you might do some reading, and just anything, everything that really genuinely renews you and fills you, is going to be great, you know. You're it's going to be great. So just plan it that way and everything, plan it and don't plan it, you know, but room for flexibility, but just the things that fill you. And going in with an intention, like Taylor said, is going to bring that about, that realization or that renewal or, you know, integration, whatever it is you're intending. Powerful. That's great, Crystal. Really good for you. Good for you. So it's been quite a full call. And what are you feeling maybe to bring us to some final thoughts for completion today?
Oh, was that a question?
It was, yeah. If you would like to,
it was a great call, and I don't know that I have final thoughts other than to see that, you know, especially for those of us who are feeling that they aren't really doing what they really want to do right now. They're not feeling like they can really be in the contribution or service place they want to be, is to recognize that if you're taking care of yourself and others in any way, you are in that place. And if you're bringing consciousness to what you're doing, you know, you're just your practices, you're recycling every day. You know, he's all these little things, you know, your conscious awareness of eating well, and all these things are making huge ripples and impacts on the planet, and are big, big contributions. And the more self-care you can do, the greater base you have to be full and overflowing to contribute. And so it really is like step one toward being a superhero of service.
It is step one. It is our foundation. So I'm really glad we had the opportunity to do this today. It's been a real pleasure, Taylor and Kathy and Lydia and Crystal and everyone listening after. Thank you. I think this was really powerful and very helpful to bring even more consciousness to. I think this is something that we can know, and then it has the potential to just slip away as things get busy, or you know, there's lots of appointments or things on your schedule. So we have to come back to this.
Yeah, regularly. Right. This has been an honor. Thank you so much.
And I think, Kathy, maybe in response to the other, you know, questions that you had there, my relationships and things like that, we can get a little more clarity or have a different call on that topic, because I don't think we necessarily addressed that. I want to be clear about the question.
Certainly.
Yeah, maybe that can be another.
Another one. Yeah. Another, yeah. I'll get some more input from people on what they'd like to be addressed. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wonderful. It's really nice to have these calls. And next time, I guess we can see too, you know, I know some women end up saying they're working or different things, so we can see, you know, how we can bring everyone together. And Crystal is just saying that she's just grateful. She's going to do this on Friday, and she may have to include hot springs. that sounds
nice.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I think we can just all
continue.
I think we can just all breathe this in. Just, you know, take in the love and the energy and the support and the permission. There's permission here for you to create space in your life. Have a vacation, a retreat,
care of yourself, you know. So just breathing in the support that's here for you in this group and all of the superhero women really who have your back and are shining light and love and support for you to really honor yourself and honor your foundation, take care of yourself so you can really step up in the greatest light that you're capable of. I know each one of you has a very high capacity for profound service, profound change, profound support. And we all just support you with our full hearts to take that time for yourself because we all see what you're capable of. So just remembering that and feeling that. And thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Kathy, for all of your wisdom and your love and your insight. Thank you. It's beautiful.
Thank you to you too, Lario.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both. It was a great way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah, it was. I agree. Okay. Well, much love to everyone, and until next time. Enjoy your deep care and the nourishment that comes. Much love to you.
Much love. Many blessings to everyone.
Many blessings.